But let's emphasize the word beautiful for a second, and go with me for just a second back to Exodus, okay? I want to give you a quick theology on beauty before I give you a theology on raising daughters, because both of them are inextricably connected. But look at Exodus 28. And for some of you, you might not frequent the Old Testament very much, but it's got some great stuff. And Exodus 28, verse 2, tells us beauty is very important to God. In fact, beauty was required for anyone that would regularly come into God's presence. Did you know that? Did you know God regulated the traffic into his presence? He regulated it down to one family of priests, Levitical priests, who could come into his presence. And look what it says in Leviticus 28, 2. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother. This is God talking to Moses. For glory and for what? What? Beauty. Right. Look down at verse 40. Same chapter. For Aaron's sons, his descendants, the priests to come. You shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them. What's all the fuss for? For glory and for what? Beauty. God says, if you're going to come into my presence, I want you to be beautiful. Beauty was required if you were regular into God's presence, okay? Number two, look at 1 Chronicles. Go to the right. It goes Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1 Kings, 7, 1 Kings. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. This is what it says. Beauty was expected to be the description of corporate worship. Remember I exhorted you about you can make God, you can bring joy to his heart by your worship and your praying. This is what God expects, beautiful worship. It says 1 Chronicles 16, 29. Here's what it says. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord. And this is what the New King James translates this next little phrase as. In the beauty of holiness. God expects what we give to him to be beautiful. Beautiful in his sight. And see, that beauty is very important to God. Here's another one, 2 Chronicles. Let's just turn to the next book over, chapter 20, verse 21. Because beauty is how God describes not only the worship, but the praise. You say, what's the difference? Well, worship sometimes is silent adoration. Praise is when we express it. It can be in instruments, you know, it says in the harp and in the cymbals and all that, or in our voices. And it can be loud, but praise is how God says he desires it, but he says he wants beautiful praise. In verse 21 of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, and when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness. Wow. They praise the beauty of holiness. So what they're doing is they're giving praise to God that is beautiful. They're praising the beauty of holiness. And when we praise how beautiful the holiness, that attribute of God is, we magnify him. So what God is saying basically is beauty is how he describes the praise he desires. And if you know anything about that story right there, God smote their enemies without a weapon being raised because God so inhabits that praise and they were giving him what he wanted and he won the battle for him. Now, here's familiar territory. Go to right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 27. 27th Psalm. Look at verse 4. Beauty is a mark of what a pleasing personal worship time is. In other words, if you want to know if what you're doing when you're alone with God, with your Bible, with your hymn book, wherever you pray and start your day or pause in the middle of your day or end your day, doesn't matter. The Bible describes worship in the morning, worship in the noon, worship at night. The Bible never differentiates that one is higher than the other. It's whether or not we pause and sacrifice our time to do our own stuff and focus on God. But when we do that, Psalm 27:4 is David's testimony. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. I don't know about you, but what I consider to be beautiful I like to look at. I carry reminders around. You know, I have in my Bible, I have a picture of my wife. You know, in my wallet, I have a. Do you know how many men I meet? I go out to lunch with men almost every day of the week. I was out with two today, not just one, two. And I'll say to them, can I see a picture of your wife? Do you know how many men do not have a picture in their office or on their person of their wife? You know, that's astounding to me. When they were dating, I bet they had pictures plastered on their mirror in their car. What happened? They're not pursuing that. And you know what? God says our pursuit of Him through this word. Look at verse 4 again. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. We come into this book and it's almost like it's a window through which we can see into the very presence of God and we see the beauty of the Lord. Beauty is a mark of pleasing personal worship. It's when you pause long enough to look at the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, You're beautiful, Your face is all I seek. And when I see You, my soul is satisfied." Here's another one. Look at Psalm 29, second verse. Beauty is how God describes the holiness He desires in our lives. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the what? Beauty of holiness. How about Psalm 96? If you want to turn over there, it says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." That's Psalm 96, verse 9. You see, that's the kind of life that God wants us to have, to see Him as beautiful. But now Psalm 50. This one is great. You should have this one marked in your Bible. Psalm 50. If you're a Bible marker, this is a great one to have marked. This is one of the descriptions of God. Psalm 50 in verse 2, it says this, "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth." You know, to a born-again, regenerated, redeemed, converted, saved Christian, God is beautiful. He is. I met with someone recently, and they said to me, "Well, I finished reading through the Bible, read the whole thing, got that ending there about heaven." And they said, "I think it's going to be boring." You know what? They have not cultivated seeing that God is beautiful. He is. And the more we see Him, the more we long for Him, we love Him, because out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Well, here's the last one, Psalm 90 and verse 17, okay? This one is great, and you know, you're saying, why are you emphasizing all this? I said the priests are required to be beautiful, and God wants us to be beautiful in our praise and beautiful in our worship and to see Him as beautiful. How do we get all that? It takes time. Look at the last verse of Psalm 90. I love this. Moses wrote this psalm, maybe the next one too, Psalm 91, talking about when he was in the cleft of the rock and all that, but the last verse of Psalm 90 says this, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Now it's interesting. I remember many years ago when the earth's crust was still cooling, I was in seminary, and I remember in Hebrew class, one of the first things they taught us was about this verse. And when it says, "and let," the construction in the Hebrew language is best portrayed by a little two-year-old who's busy. You know, have you ever been around a two-year-old? It seems like we always have a two-year-old in our house. We've had a two-year-old in our house for over 14 years, you know. We always seem to have one. And one thing about two-year-olds, their feet never stop. They're just going all the time, and they're always, their face is dirty. And so we're always stopping them. And you stop them, you put your hand under their chin while you're reaching and trying to wash out the rag in the sink, you know, and you get it all squeezed out, and they're just moving all around like this, and you try and hold them still, and you say, "Could you hold still for a minute? Let me," and what you're trying to do is clean them off. But the picture is of a face going like this, you know, and you're trying to wipe it off. It has ice cream or jelly or whatever all over it, and you're trying to say, "Would you hold still long enough for me to do this?" That's what Psalm 90, verse 17 says. Would you hold still long enough for me to press into you my beauty? God says, let the beauty of the Lord be on you. Something we are increasingly losing is the ability to wait for anything. Email is not fast enough for us, you know? You know what I mean? I mean, it used to be that it would take days and weeks and months for letters to get around the world. You know, you'd put them in a packet, and when someone got time, they'd take it down to the port, and when they got time, they'd throw it onto a ship, and when they got time, they'd sail off, and if they didn't sink, they'd get wherever they were going, and they'd uncrate it and sort it, and when someone found a horse, they'd go off and deliver it, you know? And You know, nowadays, I mean, someone say, did you get my email? When did you send it? I just sent it. Didn't you get it yet? No, I didn't. Oh, well, I'll wait on the phone. Did you get it yet? I says, no. You know, I don't check it every moment. You know, it's okay. See, what we're conditioned by that, right? God says, be still and know that I'm God. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon thee.